I am your hostess, La Petite Mort, and I am here with El Sammy Bisto.
A hostess snack cake?
A hostess snack cake would be good right now. You were just listening to Nuit Noire opening the portal. Tonight, we are going to watch a movie, or talk about a movie, that El Sammy Bisto picked out.
Moi?
Oui. Woo. It is Ghosts of Mars, which was filmed in 2001. And surprisingly, IMDb only had one line about the movie. A story of human colonists on Mars who must be rescued after becoming possessed by vengeful Martian ghosts. And that is all.
Bastards.
That is all. Directed by John Carpenter and written by John Carpenter and Larry Sulkis. It has in it...
Music by Danny Elfman.
No, I was getting to that later, but... Guess who did the music? And no, not Danny Elfman for a change. John Carpenter did the music.
He did, what other? He did In the Mouth of Madness.
He did the music?
Yeah. There's been, like, a handful of, like, iconic ones that he's done. That's the only one that I can think of.
But,
Halloween.
Actually, I was going to go down, because there is a buttload of people in this movie who are quite recognizable. Sorry, I have to yawn. I'm tired. Natasha Henstridge, who was in Species, she's our main character, Lieutenant Melanie Ballard. Then there is Ice Cube, who everybody knows freaking Ice Cube. He was in NWA and then did like Friday. And Next Friday in the Barbershop movies, and now he's in a whole bunch of kids' movies. Jason Statham, who was in Transporter, Crank, Expendables, Mechanic, and now Romeo and Juliet. Clea DuVall, who you would
I
most...
I want to see Mechanic.
I do too. Clea DuVall, who you would most likely recognize her in Carnival. She's the psychic fortune teller girl. Her mom's the one that is in comatose in the bed.
Is she related to Bobby D?
I have no clue. I didn't look that up. Maybe you should look it up.
Maybe I should.
Yeah. Maybe you should look it up. Jenny sometimes doesn't always feel like looking it up. Or LPM sometimes doesn't always feel like looking it up.
Oh, you look it up.
Pam Grier. You know, Jackie Brown, the detective in Jawbreaker, Mars Attack, and she was Foxy Brown.
She's in Mars Attack?
Mm-hmm. She was, who was the guy who was like the ex-football player?
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah.
Boxer.
Boxer, yeah, and he was an athlete. But, yeah. So.
Anywho.
It starts off with this train that comes into a station on autopilot.
Woo woo!
And they have to cut it open to get inside.
It's not a love train?
No, it's not a love train, but it's thought to be a ghost train.
That's the same.
That could be just as good as a love train.
Depending on your opinion.
Until they find one survivor, Lieutenant Melanie Ballard. And she's the one from Species. She was found handcuffed to a bunk bed, no less.
Ooh, it was a love train.
It was a love train. And she is a police officer. Officer.
I only have one beer, officer.
But she's some kind of officer. And she was on a mission with a whole bunch of other people to escort and transfer a prisoner.
A mission on Mars.
A mission on Mars. And she only had these superficial wounds, but she had some traces of illegal substances in her system. So, Yeah, she's to be kept under close supervision. And then they're going to question her, you know, because she is the only one left alive.
Well, you know why that is. Because there can be only one.
And so we're going to go with the flashbacks now. There's lots of flashbacks between the questioning. So she flashes back and she's on the train with all these other officers and the pilot and the co-pilot. And they're going to be encountering bad weather. So Lieutenant Ballard pops some pill out of this locket necklace she has. And their mission is to transfer Desolation Williams, a.k.a. Ice Cube, who is some sort of notorious killer. And he was a train robber, too. And it turns out that, let's see, Pam Grier is the commander. Helena Braddock, who happens to love the ladies. Jason Statham plays Jericho.
Who happens to love the ladies.
He does happen to love the ladies, and he's like the hot cop, and I guess it's because he's got the accent, right? But it turns out he's one of the few breeders around, because this is a matriarchal society. That's what they say. And he's like, I'm one of the few breeders around. And I guess that's supposed to make everybody hot and bothered for him. And they go to Shining Canyon, where they're going to retrieve their prisoner. But the whole place is kind of deserted. And they're like, where'd everybody go? Where'd everybody go? Guess we'll have to investigate. And the prison is all empty with the... Well, it seems like the prison is all empty with the exception of Mr. Desolation Williams. And there's blood everywhere and body parts. So we're going to follow Pam Grier, Bashira, who is Clea DuVall, and Descano to see what's going on in the rec center of Shining Canyon. And when they walk in there are like all of the bodies are hanging upside down from the ceiling and dripping blood, and the whole town is slaughtered, and they can't get in touch with the train. Desolation is the only one they think is still alive in the place, but he's locked up and nobody can get to him, and Jericho's able to bust through locks. So how could have Desolation murdered everyone if he's still locked in his cell?
He's a ghost?
No. And there happened to be a bad storm at Shining Canyon the night before, too.
Desolation Houdini Williams?
Maybe so. And then they find out, hey, there are still some prisoners alive in the holding cell. And one is a scientist, Dr. Whitlock, who came to town from another town via a modified weather balloon she created. And she checked herself into the holding cell because it seemed the only safe place in town to her. More comes on that later. Behind a big, huge steel door, they hear, like, some banging, like... And it's a chick, and she's an officer, but something is wrong with her. She keeps, like, putting her hands in front of her face, like she's tripping on LSD or something, and watching her hands make, you know, shapes in the sky. I don't know. Desolation is now free, but he gets Bashira, who is Clea DuVall, then punches Lieutenant Melanie Ballard in the face. And
in the clam.
No, in the face, not in the clam. And he gets away. And there are random people around town, still alive, but they're acting all freakish, kind of zoned out. And then there are some that are like psychotic slashers, and they're killing everybody. And this time, Desolation saves Ballard's life from one of these crazy people. Commander Braddock, Helena Foxy Brown, got beheaded by one of the crazies. And Jericho sees it happen, and he follows where he sees a huge tribe of folks all made up in, like, crow-type makeup and Mad Max outfits killing and beheading the normal-looking folks.
So it's basically, like, a goth party where a bunch of kids dressed up like the crow took bad drugs and freaked out.
Maybe.
On Mars.
On Mars. So now Ballard goes into... See, this movie was not long. It was only like 98 minutes, but for some reason to me, it felt like it went on and on and on. And they could have ended it after one of the fight scenes, because you'll find out at the end they just keep having all these fight scenes, and then they fight again, and then they fight again, and then they fight again. So Ballard goes to question Dr. Whitlock, and Whitlock has the explanation that there are organisms under the ground that lay dormant, and they've woken them up, and those things are possessing everyone. Then when you kill, like, a person who's possessed, well, the organism floats around and then gets in somebody else who's alive. And you know what that made me think of? Hmm. Horace Pinker in Shocker. Well, because he was possessing them, and then once their body was dead, he floated out and got into somebody else.
I just was thinking they shouldn't have built the mine on top of the Martian Indian burial grounds.
That too, like Poltergeist. Another group of guys come upon Jericho, and they tell him what they saw in the mines. This misty-looking red cloudy thing comes across, and it looks like all the miners are killed, but then they come back and start cutting themselves and killing those that haven't gone through the change. And this group is actually there.
And they don't even eat them. They kill them, and they don't even eat them.
I know.
What a waste.
And the group that Jericho came across, they're actually there to save Desolation. Blah, blah, blah. Struggle, struggle. Let's get together and fight as a bigger group, and let's deputize the few folks in the holding cell, except one guy who's started clawing himself and his face up because he's now infected. So they finally decided, you know, hey, maybe we should get the hell out of here and escape. But where's the train?
Do they want to throw Mama from it?
I would if she looked like that. So they're surrounded by the possessed, and there's a humongous fight scene. But every time they kill, somebody else gets possessed, and this is no bueno for sure. That's all I got to say about that.
So what you're saying is, those that you kill get up and kill.
No, those that you kill lay down, but whatever's possessing them inside flies out of them and goes into somebody else who's alive.
Who gets up and kills.
And then they turn into crazy mofos and start killing.
Interesting.
Yeah, like zombie ant fungus.
Yes.
So now the group gets into an area where they get themselves sealed in so they're safe, which is back by the holding cell where a crazy guy's been clawing himself up. And Whitlock tells her story of what happened in the town she fled from in the weather balloon. In the mine she was at, they found this entrance under the rock that had been carved by someone other than man.
Up, up and away.
In my beautiful balloon. Yeah, but no. So, yeah, they find an entrance that was carved by someone other than man. I don't know how they figured that out, because to me it looked like a regular mine doorway, but whatever. Until, and no, they got further down, and then there was a round opening thing with some hieroglyphic-y looking crap on it.
And then what did they do to it?
You say it.
They poked it with a stick.
Well, she gets it unlocked and unleashes the evil upon Mars. And so it's Whitlock who opens Pandora's box and caused all these problems anyway, bitch. So, in the midst of all the madness, Jericho lures Ballard away to try and seduce her. And she's going to get on that.
She's going to get her all up in that.
Yeah, they're going to get it on. But then stupid Barisha shoots the guy in the cell who is possessed. And the demon, the one that's been clawing his face up. So the demon that was in him, or ghost or whatever, goes into Ballard.
Fungus spore.
Whatever. It goes into species chick. And they drag her outside because, you know, there's nothing they can do for her now and she's going to be possessed. But Jericho does give her one of her pills that was in her necklace before leaving her alone. And it seems that the drugs mess with the demons and she pukes out the red cloud.
Hmm.
So her drugs shoot out the demon.
So drugs are not a bad?
I guess not.
They're not bad, okay.
But now she's locked outside alone and unarmed and not one of the possessed anymore. So she's normal. And so she's got to go back and bang on the door and be like, I'm normal. Look at me. It's not in me. Let me in. Let me in. Let me in. So the pills also made her see what the Martians want. And they want the destruction of anyone trying to live on their planet. Blah, 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 blah. All the big, huge group of possessed people outside make a big battering ram, and they break into the little fortress prison area. Now they have the problem of when they fight, they're releasing all the spirits as they kill more, and more of the angry mob, so they that are still actually alive and not possessed are getting possessed. And they finally make it to the train. Yay!
Are there snakes on it?
No. But it's only her and Desolation that make it to the train.
What happened to the dude that was in Revenge of the Nerds?
Oh no, it wasn't only her. And him. Oh, he got killed early on. Because, yeah, the dude from Revenge of the Nerds was, like, assistant pilot or something. He was getting people coffee and shit.
A lackey.
Oh, no. They got... I don't remember when they got killed. But anyway.
Anywho.
So they make it to the train. And Lieutenant Ballard, species chick, is like, we need to go back. And I was thinking, are you effing crazy? because she's got to try and kill the loose Martian evil spirits. But to me, wouldn't the spirits just go floating around after killing all the human hosts?
You would think.
You would think. Her simple plan is to blow up the power station, demolish everything, while they get back on the train and haul ass. But nothing is ever as simple as it seems, and only Ballard and Desolation make it to the train the second time. But instead of staying put and hauling ass, she sends Williams, while the train's kind of going, but not really fast. She sends Desolation Ice Cube to the rear car to set off some dynamite. And a couple of freaky deekies get in on the train, and there's more fighting. And she and Desolation make it. So he knows she's kind of passed out in the bunk bed. He says she's going to let everyone know that he's not the cause of all the mess. And he sneaks and handcuffs her to the bed of the train because he's jumping. So he makes sure he doesn't get jailed when they get docked back. And the superiors don't believe her tale because she's like, he must have handcuffed me when I was asleep. And in the end, they lead you to believe that the ghosts are invading in the area where she's being questioned, the whole area where the train came. But in the end, Desolation comes to save Ballard, and they're going to go shoot it out. And she's like, he's like, you would have made a good criminal. And she said, you would have made a good cop. The end. Fini. So that's that movie, as I said, which probably could have been a half an hour shorter. It was okay. It was just some of it, they drug it out, and I was like, okay, you already did that. I'm tired of seeing that fight scene. Tired of it.
You're tired?
I was tired of it.
So now for some music.
Yep. Now for some music.
I got a panic exchange plan. I'm gonna swap my panties. Oh, it's a lucky man. Panic exchange. I got a panic exchange plan. I'm gonna swap my panties. With a lucky man. Woo!
is a many, splintering fame. It makes you feel, leaves you only dream. Come on, yeah! I think I know, therefore I am. Try to teach me all of your own ways. I am my own man. Come on! Does your wife like a get it on? Does your wife like a yeah, yeah, yeah? Does your wife like a get it on? Does your wife? Does your wife like to
yeah, yeah,
say? Does your wife like to eat it on?
Just listening to Butts with Panty Exchange.
You said butts.
You say the next one.
No, you say the next one.
You put it on there. It. Go ahead. Fucked up Toronto FC and squirt. Does your wife like to get it on? Squirt. Squirt, squirt.
Skeet, skeet!
We have a buttload of upcoming events. Death Wish second anniversary party, March 11th, 2011. I almost said 2007 for some weird reason. I don't know what's wrong with me. At 9 p.m., Trax Nightclub. That's at 3500 Walnut Street in Danville. Come down and celebrate 2 years of dark themes and dark beats with resident DJs Star and Dave Vendetta, plus guest DJ Filth, along with the fabulous Death Wish dancers in Trax, and VJ Crash in Heaven's Lounge. DJ Slave One will have tickets to the My Life with the Thrill Cult show to hand out, as well as coupons for Fashion Nation. Did I sound like a
radio DJ?
Yeah.
Do you
Not
have
really.
Your own background dancers?
No, I don't.
Do you have a theme song?
No. Burlesque at the Beauty Bar, March 11th at 8:30 p.m. And the Beauty Bar is 608 East 13th Avenue, down the street from Bender's. I think it's where the old snake pit used to be. Starring the best of Colorado burlesque, from Pueblo to Fort Collins and everywhere in between. Then we have Comic Fest Poker Night at I Want More Comics, March 12th at 8 p.m. Want More Comics is at 10355 Federal Boulevard, Unit C in Westminster, Colorado. And you can go to denvercomicfest.com for more info on that. Punk Rock Saturday, March 12th at 9 p.m. That's at Lion's Lair, 2022 East Colfax, featuring the Brothers Gross, the Downtown Struts, the Morgendorfers, and Truckosaurus. Second Saturday, Open Studio Night, Rejected Show and Walnut Workshop opening, March 12th at 7 p.m. That's at Wazzy Union, 3501 Wazzy Street, Denver, which is an awesome building. Check out the art of our new community members at the Walnut Workshop and the Month of Photography Show. Rejected at Wazzy Union. Second Saturday's Art on Colfax, March 12th at 6 p.m. between Adams and St. Paul Streets on the north side of Colfax. And you can go to mycolfax.org for more info on that. Summer Jackson presents March of the Zombies 3 Fashion Show, March 12th at 8 p.m. at Bender's Tavern, 314 East 13th Avenue, Denver. And you can go to fashionzombies.webs.com for more info on that. Third annual fashion show, March of the Zombies 3, has taken on an apocalyptic attack of sexy brain-thirsty zombie models, local zombie art, and merchandise trunk show. The main event will fashion show will be featured between sets of live local bands in Denver. Favorited Lola Black will headline the night. Zombie author Brian Kaufman will also be presenting signing copies of his featured zombie book, Dead Beyond the Fence. That sounds familiar, Brian Kaufman. Have I read him? I may have. I just can't remember right now. That's horrible. I'm too tired. Sorry, folks. Got a new job, and I actually have to get up in the morning and go to work.
Wah, wah.
I know, it's different. Surly Temple St. Patty's Day Spinorama at Beauty Bar, March 17th at 10 p.m. Once again, Beauty Bar, 608 East 13th Avenue. Surly is going to be spinning records all night at Beauty Bar on St. Patrick's Day. Don't waste precious green beer on bad music. Come to Beauty Bar, get your nails did, and dance to some sweet tunes, because I heard they do manis and petties at the Beauty Bar.
You love petties.
I don't know, I've never had one. And then, Burly Cute presents St. Pasty's Day Burlesque, March 17th at 8 p.m. at Bender's Tavern, 314 East 13th Avenue. So you can go see Burly Cute, and then go down to Beauty Bar and dance your booty off.
After you've gone to the art walks.
After you've gone to the art walks.
And played poker.
But you can go to burlycute.com for more info on that. Those lovely ladies, I won't be there this month. But I hear they're going to have some very interesting acts. Don't mess with me lucky charms. And it's not easy being green. And a few other crazy, crazy acts. So that should be interesting. Mile High Sci-Fi presents Swim Fan. That's a movie from the 90s,
yeah.
Huh? Yeah. March 25th and 26th at 8 p.m. at the Denver Film Center, 2510 East Colfax. You can go to milehighsci-fi.com for more of that. And we're going to give you some music to dance by, and then we will be back.
Shut your trap, she said, and I would. You just come on and take the bait. Just come on and take the bait. There's something I'll let you say, and I would let you know it. Just come for me back. How'd you get in my bed?
Touch, Urinals, WFMU, Terry T, Terry Blossom Clinic. I'm reading right what it says right there.
Good boy.
Yeah, we're playing the Knitting Factory tonight. We are the Urinals. A couple more songs. Here's a, and we're going to end up with an old one and then an old Hunter Flowers tune.
But I do. And it's a teenage sadness. Everyone is about to
you were just dancing your ass off to the urinals. Shut Your Trap, Sinkhole, Being There, the AGs, Good Girls Don't.
But you do.
Sometimes. So, the comic tonight is Roman Dirge's Lenore, which there's a new little, I guess, series of it come out. And I picked up one and two, but I've only read one so far. And it's your favorite little dead girl. I did like the opening sequence because, what's his name? Her little friend had on parachute pants and cardboard and was breakdancing.
Like you do.
Like you do. But it's the first one basically showed how she came to be, that she had died, and it was like in the 1800s, the coroner went to do an autopsy on her and filled her with formaldehyde and stuff. Somehow she came back to life, and it freaked him out so bad and everything that it ruined his life, but somehow he had swallowed enough formaldehyde in his life to keep him alive, and he's been on the hunt for her to take her down. Yeah. But she distracts him with balloon animals.
Ooh. You should learn how to do balloon animals.
I know. She always distracts people with silly things.
Kind of like you.
Kind of like me. But, so, you know, I guess it's the usual kind of Lenore antics and such, but it's cute, and I like the little flashbacks of how she came to exist in her Lenoreisms and how her eyes, like, they were filling her up, and she's like, "Ma-ah! Squoop!" as it pokes out of her head.
It's no nice,
but it makes a good story. And we are going to leave you with Panda Punk, punk rock radio.
Panda.
I know, I should talk more about it, but go out and buy it and read it. It's not that expensive. 20 pages. Oh, and you can find out more of the Lenore stuff at spookyland.com. And like I said, we will now leave you with Panda Punk, Punk Rock Radio. You can contact us at lpmpodcast@gmail.com. You can call and leave us a message at 720-432-2715. You can leave us reviews on iTunes. You can download our episodes from iTunes. You can listen to our episodes on lpmpodcast.com. You should friend us on Facebook and tell your friends to listen to us and spread us like the plague. But in a good way, because we shouldn't kill you, I don't think.
Not yet.
We haven't figured out a way to get through the airwaves to spread our black death, but maybe eventually we will. Who knows?
The shadow knows.
Yes. The El Sammy Beasto knows.
Ooh-ah.
So until next time, peace out, bitches.
Correctly with the correct amount. We'll be right back. vaffanculo, non lo pago questo prezzo. Io per adesso non ci sono.